Well, look with me then at Psalm 125. This is a song of ascents. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word and pray your blessings upon it. As we look at it briefly, would you encourage us in it and strengthen our faith? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Psalm 125 is a part of what's known as, you see the heading there, the Song of Ascents. There are lots of different, theories on what's going on there, and these would be perhaps these songs of depicting Israel coming from Babylon back to Jerusalem, and after the exile being restored, having those things fully restored to them. This would be times of a time of prayer. It's a what worship might look like, and some have said maybe the psalmist, as it's being compiled, have this idea of it is going up to Jerusalem, and maybe even thinking about going up the steps and singing those kinds of psalms. That would be on their mind as you work your way, and there is connectedness all the way from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. So you get that a little bit with each step, almost like there's a crescendo and a build-up effect. And Psalm 125 kind of comes somewhat in the middle of these things. There's, as Psalm 124 ends, there's this idea of David somewhat in a crescendo-like effect, too, claiming, look, help comes from the Lord. And he's recognizing difficulties and all of that. And what do God's people do? We find ourselves surrounded by enemies. There's all kinds of difficulties all around. And the Psalms, in general, are always meant to lift our eyes upward and help us think about God and how to deal with our problems and our trials. And I think you see that coming out pretty clearly here. These psalms are all about worship. Now, we never want to say that worship makes the problems go away. They don't make the enemies go away, but they sure put things in perspective, don't they? Whatever difficulties there are, worship does tend to sort of recalibrate, put focus where it needs to be put. It helps us think through pains and problems and situations in life. It's a reminder that God is sovereign. I've heard many people pray that sort of thing. It's a wonderful reminder, isn't it, that the Lord is God. The Lord is God. He's in control. We love to teach our children. He's got the whole world in his hands. That's not just for children, is it? That's for everybody, for adults. The Lord is sovereign. He's in control. Isaiah 40 verse 11 says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. There's something of that sentiment here in Psalm 125. It's meant to be a reassurance for the people of God as they live as pilgrims. These are sometimes called the pilgrim psalms for people who are living in that kind of time. An in-between time. These are psalms for us, thinking about what it's like to be a Christian in this life of waiting. Sometimes life seems as though it's not so solid, shifting sand almost, doesn't it? We have our prayer guide. There are problems. There are physical ailments and difficulties. They're problems in our society, and we have those constantly on our mind, don't we? And sometimes it can feel like that there is no real certainty or stability in life. Psalm 125 says, yes, there is. There's always stability for the people of God. And the psalmist kind of directs you, I'll just look at these briefly, kind of working your way through these five verses. And there are three things that the psalmist highlights in terms of thinking of the security we have in God. He's the covenant God, covenant making and covenant keeping God. And it's a reassurance in him. You can trust him. And the first thing to highlight that the psalm highlights is the Lord's presence, his covenant presence. That is the security of God's people. Maybe we don't often think that. We like to quote certain certain texts of Scripture that help us think about that. But I wonder how often we remember that. I remember one time Derek Thomas made a comment. It seemed a little bit strange to me at first, but he made a comment about some people may take this the wrong way, but when we give, he talked about how Jesus is present with his people and his worshiping people, and there's a real spiritual presence, and using sanctified imagination, if I can say that, is the language that Derek Thomas would use. Imagine a plate being passed, and Jesus is among us. Our God is present with his people. I think you see that in this psalm. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever, as the mountains surround Jerusalem. So the Lord surrounds his people, right? There's that idea. He's with his people in the midst. I love the picture. You find this in Numbers. You find it in other places too. You're meant to think, as you think about the tabernacle, the tent, and how it's situated, and all the tribes surrounding it. The Lord is in the midst of his people. And when it was time to move, and all the signals were given, everybody got up and moved along. And here's God communicating to his people, I'm with you, and I go where you go. Yes, we talk a lot about our own commitment, right? We want to be committed to the Lord. There's something weak about our commitment, isn't it? Praise God, he's more committed to us than we are. He's with his people always. That's why we love that when Jesus says, I am with you always to the end of the age. And you're getting that everywhere in the Bible. And I think certainly you get it here in Psalm 125 of the Lord surrounding his people. We love Deuteronomy 32, 33, that when the everlasting arms of the Lord underneath his people. There's a certain security that we ought to think about that we have with God being near us, dwelling with us. Look at the language that's used there. The idea of Mount Zion and mountains and all of that. Immovability, if you will. Verse 1, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. The psalmist is saying there's an immovability about the Lord's people because they're trusting in the Lord. Now we think, well, that doesn't really seem like that, does it? We get illnesses, diseases, we die. We are a part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken, aren't we? That's why we love. There are times at graveside services, and one Puritan minister said, "It's as if we look defiantly over the grave, knowing there's a resurrection coming, that there is eternal life, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus." There's an immovability about God's people, and because he's with us. That's important to remember, isn't it? God always being with his people, and we're immovable. Even a step further than that, an impenetrableness, if you will. That's a word. God's people are impenetrable. The Lord so secures his people that he's not going to let anything separate them. He's not going to let anything overcome them and overtake them. It feels that way at times, doesn't it? The Lord's so with his people, and he's saying, you'll not be moved. We love to sing a mighty fortress, don't we? And it's those same truths, and you find them all throughout Scripture. I love the story, you know the story, don't you, of 2 Kings 6. Elisha's there with Gehazi, his servant, and the enemies all around, they're clearly outnumbered. And Elisha prays, open his eyes, and he sees those who are with us are greater than those who are against us. Over and over again, you have this idea hammered home in the Bible. And we love, again, Romans 8. And if God is for us, who can be against us? All that rich language, I think, comes home in Psalm 125. It's the same principle, the same idea of the Lord being with his people, surrounding them even. Matthew Henry said, the clearer sight we have of the sovereignty and power of heaven, the less we shall fear the troubles of earth. There's always a need, isn't there, to remember that. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. Whom shall I fear? What shall I fear? What can man do to me? What can separate me? All those kinds of questions come to play, don't they? When it all makes it, the Lord is with his people. You know, it's one of the great promises, if you think about the covenant promises of God to Abraham. And you find it reiterated over and over again. It's God saying, I will be your God and you'll be my people. I will dwell with you. And you find that true in Christ. And God assuring it, making it so. Well, you have a second thing you see in verse 3. You see, even though his presence is announced there, and that's meant to be an encouragement, our security in that, but there's security found in his promise he's making here. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. What a wonderful promise. Now, some people might see in that only in this life, and that's going to happen. And perhaps, you know, at the end of the age, and I know there's debate on how that goes, but certainly I think there's this reminder of the Lord made a promise of land. And I think, according to Hebrews 11, Abraham knew it was a heavenly one, a better country, the land to which we belong in Christ, the land to which we're going, the promised land, not going back to Palestine and in that area, but the new heavens and the new earth. And there's a promise that the Lord has made to his people. The scepter of wickedness will not rest on that land. There will be no wickedness. And more than that, there's going to be a wonderful thing. You'll not be even tempted to do wrong. Lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. There's that idea of being tempted with something. The wicked being there and tempting the righteous again and again and again. You think of righteous Lot, as we're told, whose soul was vexed as he lived in that land of wickedness. He's always burdened by it. And it's a picture, isn't it, of what it's like to be a Christian in the world. And you're always tempted everywhere you go. It never stops, it seems. And there's always the need to pray, isn't there? Lead us not into temptation. And here's a wonderful promise that we can take it to the bank, as we say. The Lord promises wickedness will not be in that land, in Emmanuel's land, right? No more temptation, no more wickedness at all, not even temptation to it. What a glorious thing that is. There's security in the promise of that. Even though now we struggle, what a great encouragement it is. You know, there's going to come a day. There's no more temptation, no more wickedness. Only righteousness will rule. What a great thing that is. Well, one last thing quickly. You see here the plan that the Lord has in place. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. It's like a statement being made. It's somewhat of a prayer, of course, but it's highlighting God's plan. And you think of the Lord Jesus, Matthew 25, and all of the language of the separating of the sheep and the goats, right? All that language is built into to the Lord having a plan. And the Lord is bringing that plan to fruition. There are some who are good and some who are evildoers, right? Those who are good because of God's grace, because of his goodness and that alone. And there's a category there of people that he has and that he's going to do good to them. What a wonderful reminder that is. That the Lord knows how to distinguish. He knows who are his. He knows what's going on. And there is evil and wickedness, and he's always doing good to his people. So much so that his people are those who say, the Lord does work all things together for my good. Even the hardest things in my life, the Lord is sanctifying me, using them, everything being for good. It's not like he's saying, whoops, I overlooked that one. I didn't mean for that one to happen to you. Or I didn't mean for this to happen. I wasn't paying attention. I was always in control, always paying attention, always doing good, working things together for good for his people and his own glory. That's a wonderful encouragement, isn't it? Of the security we have that even when there's a day of calamity, we know ultimately it's the Lord working good. The Lord's working good. He brings good out of evil. He's always growing. We can be sure that he's always growing us. He's always refining faith. He's maturing us in Christ. And that's a good thing. It often comes by sorrows and troubles and trials. But we can certainly trust the Lord. His peace does rest upon us in Christ. And he is working things together for our good. He is in control. There is ultimate security in the Lord our God. I always think of this. We know it well from Isaiah 43. Though we sing it, fear not, I am with you. O be not dismayed, for I am your God and will still give you aid. I'll strengthen you, help you, and cause you to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. And you know the rest of it. The Lord doesn't let his people go away ever, does he? He's always holding them in his grip, always secure in the Lord. Well, may the Lord encourage us in such a truth as Psalm 125 teaches us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the rich promises therein. We pray that you would give us encouragement for the security that we have in Christ, the security that we have in you, the Lord our God, who has promised to be with us and uphold us and care for us and grow us and lead us safely home. Thank you for the promised and assured peace that we have and will enjoy forevermore in Christ. We pray, Lord, you would increase our trust, strengthen us in this. Lord, we pray that there might be an immovability about our own faith, and that we would look to you in all things and give us great contentment and joy in the Lord as we rest in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.